Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27. But let us first sing from Psalter 225, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of 225. Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the book of Exodus, there of chapter 27, but first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus chapter 27. And thou shalt make an altar of chittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans, and all the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof, and thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even in the to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of chittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was shown thee in the mount, so shall they make it. And thou shalt make the courts of the tabernacle, for the south side southward there shall be hangings for the court of fine twined linen of 100 cubits long for 1 side. And the 20 pillars thereof and their 20 sockets shall be of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be made of silver. And likewise for the north side in length there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, and his 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10, and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side eastward shall be 50 cubits. The hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And on the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be an hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4, and their sockets 4. All the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of brass. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the breadth 50 everywhere, and the height 5 cubits of fine twined linen, and their sockets of brass. All the vessels of the tabernacle, in all the service thereof, and all the pins thereof, and all the pins of the court, shall be of brass. And thou shalt command the children of Israel, that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou hast brought us once again in the way of thy holy providence to come up in this morning of thy holy day into thy house of prayer, and thou withholdest this great privilege from so many that are in this world, and thou blessest us above measure with our children. But thou knowest what we remain with all the outward blessings that we receive from day to day. And then there is in us by nature nothing but hardness and coldness and deadness, so that there is no desire and longing after thee, the true and the living God. And all thy blessings ought to lead us to a true repentance. But without thy Holy Spirit, then there is nothing that can come from us that is good in thy holy sight. And therefore, when we enter into thy house in this morning, and then it can only be with a request and with a petition that we come unto thee, that thou may give unto us everything that we stand in need of, as thou hast provided all the blessings of this life, and that thou may grant unto us also those blessings that we stand in need of for our soul to a never-ending eternity, to awaken us from our dead state in paradise, and to grant unto us that life that hungers and that thirsts after that God whom we have left in paradise, that we may return again, Lord, by nature nothing, and but by thy grace thou knowest the desires of thy children, for thou hast planted them there, and thou knowest where they dwell also in this morning hour. Could it please thee to look upon them and to give unto them in this morning a little token of thy favor, of thy presence, thy blessing, and thy communion. Oh, that thou may draw all of us together unto thee. Lord, that is thy own work, and the purpose wherefore that thou givest us thy holy word, and thy holy day, and all thy holy institutions. Could it please thee then to bless and to sanctify also these means, and remember all those whom thou hast called out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light. Thy servant did say, I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. And thou knowest there is a church that is one from the beginning of the world even unto the end of the world. And so they will be found also amongst thy church also in our days. May it be also amongst us as a congregation, and that there may be those that cannot find it anymore, and that are not able to stand anymore, those who are cut off from everything from their own side, that they may be given such a need when they are at their wits' end, when they fall down and when there is none to help, and when they draw nigh unto the gates of death, that they may cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and that he may hear them in all of their distresses. Oh, that they may acknowledge thy name by beginning here and forever, one day in thy great glory. Wilt thou teach each of us together our great need, that there may also be a need for thine only begotten Son, whom thou hast sent into this world. He is despised by us by nature, and even after received grace, then he holds not that place as it ought to be in the life of thy own children. O Lord, thou knowest the deadness of the condition. Thou knowest all that draws away in this world, all that is the grief of the heart of that new man, all that thou may give in this day a revival, that thou would bring thy people back from ways of backsliding, and wilt thou be also the continuer and the finisher of thy work that thou hast begun. And do look upon all the afflicted and the needy in this world. Supply for all the handicapped and all those that have special needs of mind and of body. Wilt thou look on all that are suffering pain day by day. Look on those that have received surgeries and that are in the midst of a way of healing. Wilt thou supply for each of them, and wilt thou grant unto those that are not able to come up unto thy house what they need in the place where they may be, if they may listen by church telephone, or that thou may bless them also in the places where that thou hast driven them, and be unto them a little sanctuary in this day. Wilt thou supply for all thy servants, our brother also and our sister congregation. He may return to his place. Wilt thou strengthen him, that he may also receive what is necessary to go before his flock in due time. And all thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole earth, on the mission field and in the established congregations, wilt thou give thy word free course, that it may enter into the hearts of Lydia's, over all the world, in whom thou plantest the fear of the Lord, that there may be an attentiveness to the word that is spoken, and that thy name may be glorified. Look upon our youth, look upon our children. Oh, give that in those precious days, wherein the heart is not yet hardened according to the flesh, that thy word may receive a place, that the devices of Satan may be driven away, and that the tender fear of thy name may be found in the midst of our families. Help us as parents in the instruction and the bringing up of our children. Give us faithfulness, diligence, and the fear of thy name day by day. O, wilt thou forgive what is amiss and sinful in this way? And wilt thou convert our children despite who and what we are? Lord, that thou may look upon our whole congregation, young and old together in the needs and the cares known unto thee, each one personally and in the family and social life. And wilt thou cause all the ways wherein thou leadest us to be sanctified for the need of our souls. Go with us in this morning. O, give thy word free course. O, give a place to receive it. Open it unto us that we may be able to bring it in all clarity, and but that there may also be a word that is spoken from thee, from heaven, to our souls. Strengthen us in our body, that we may be able to stand here in this hour. And wilt thou give that our heart may burn for thee and for souls. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 5, 10, and 11. In vision to his saints, God spake, from out the people one I take. A mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. The last collection today is for our school, and we make an announcement. The youth group meeting is to be held at 7:30 p.m. this week, Saturday, March the 8th, in the Picture Butte Church. Elder Rick DeCock hopes to do a topic on how alcohol has affected his life and of God's great goodness. 243, 1, 5, 10, and 11. congregation, this Sabbath day begins the special weeks wherein we may commemorate the Passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Passion that has to do with suffering. How much suffering there is in this world. That is a good thing for us to consider. And why? That we may come to the cause. Do we ever ask ourselves why? That is asked by many in this world. Especially when the times are coming in the life of each person individually, when there are great disasters in this world, and then persons are asking why. Why that a young father or mother have to be buried when all their little children are standing around their grave. Or that a father and mother have to stand around the grave of their dear young child. And then the world that is rebelling against God, that He would permit such suffering to take place in the midst of this world. But congregation, it is all a denial of our deep fall, a denial of our sin, and then it is a raising of our fist against the God of our creation. The passion that has to do with the sufferings not of us, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is also very profitable for us to consider. Wherefore? Because without the application of those sufferings for our own soul, then we cannot be saved. And therefore, it is our custom for 7 weeks before the commemoration of Good Friday and Easter that our thoughts, they are turned to meditate upon the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord grant His blessing in the weeks to come. Our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word that was read to you, Exodus 27, and thereof the verses 1 and 2. Exodus 27, verses 1 and 2. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. The horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. So far, the words of our text. God's command concerning the altar of burnt offerings. First, the placement of this altar. And second, the form of this altar. That is, what that it is made of, how that it is built. God's command concerning the altar of burnt offerings. First, the placement. Second, the form of this altar. Congregation, the Bible, that is the Word of God. You believe that, young people? And there are many in this world that do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. By nature, our heart that is full of unbelief. And then it is a wonder if that there may even be an historical faith that we may believe that the Bible that is the Word of God, the Bible that is one whole, and that belonging to it are both the Old Testament and the New Testament. These two are one. Do you believe this? Because there are many that do not believe this, that are ready to receive the New Testament, but then there is a rejection of the Old Testament as that which is, as it were, unworthy. Or maybe then it is considered to be something that is historical, but that is not receiving the same place as what we can read in the New Testament. However, congregation, these two, they are one. And then there is a basis that is laid in the Old Testament, wherein we see a making way for what we can read in the New Testament. There are some, they say that the Old Testament, that is the law, and the New Testament, that is the gospel. And that gospel, that is not to be found in the Old Testament, and the law that is not to be found in the New Testament. Can that be so? That cannot be so. And why not? Because then it is impossible that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Adam and all those of the Old Testament that they have received that salvation that can be received also in this day. No, there is the gospel also to be found in the Old Testament. There is the law that is also to be found in the New Testament, our text, that is out of the ceremonial law. You say, maybe, why is that? Because the ceremonial law that has come to an end, that has now ceased, and that is true. And yet, that ceremonial law that has so very much to say unto us also today, that was the law and the gospel that was preached unto our fathers in the Old Testament. And there is so very much also today that is to be gleaned from that ceremonial law. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. Who is speaking? That is God. And to whom is he speaking? He is speaking unto Moses. Thus, he commands to build an altar. And that command to build that altar is the command of God himself. That is, congregation, is so significant. That is so very essential. And why is that so very essential? Well, what is from you and me, that is going to pass away. Peter says, all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And thus what is of us, our ingenuity, and all our designs, and all our technology, that is all going to fall away. But then Peter continues, He says, but the word of the Lord, the word of our God, that endureth forever. And it is because the word of God endures forever, and because it is the word of God, that it is the word of God that has an effect upon the conscience of a man. That is faith, true faith, that is taking hold of the word of God, not of the word of man. Because the conscience that knows that the word of man is not, but that the word of God that stands forever. And therefore, then it is so important that God's servants, that they are staying so close unto the word of God. Thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. Congregation, the Lord is instructing Moses exactly how that he must build this altar. There is nothing that is left to the imagination of Moses, and that he may build it as he wishes to build it. No, everything that is directed by the Lord himself. And why? Because that altar, that is a picture. That is a picture of whom, children? That is a picture of God himself. That altar, that is a picture of the way that the Lord is going to lead a person unto himself. And we cannot know anything of God. We cannot know anything of that way of salvation except that the Lord is giving it unto us, that he is revealing it unto us, that he is showing it unto us. And then there is nothing of the ingenuity of man that is coming into that way. No, the thoughts of God, they are very deep, we read in the Word of God. And the Lord is going to be exalted for those mysterious ways wherein he is leading each and every one of his children. Thus, every detail, we can read it, that is laid out by the Lord himself, and every detail that is receiving a very special significance, that representation of God, that must be a true representation. And thus there is a great responsibility on the part of God's servants that they are paying attention also unto those details in the studying of that holy word of God, and that they are beseeching that the Lord may lead them into the meaning also of those things that we by nature are looking over, that we are bypassing. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood. We say in our first thought the placement of this altar. And that is something we do not read actually in the words of our text. That is what we read in our context. Where is that altar going to go, boys and girls? That altar that is going to go into that court of the tabernacle. We read about this here. And that entire tabernacle that is part of that ceremonial law of God by which the children of Israel in the Old Testament have received so much instruction. That tabernacle that is a representation, that is the tabernacle proper, the tabernacle itself, that is a representation of the dwelling place of God. And when we consider what that was made of and how that was made and what was in it, then a holy reverence ought to fill our soul, because the tabernacle proper that was consisting of the Holy of Holies and also of that holy place. Thus, the Holy of Holies was in a very special way representative of the third heavens, that place where God Himself is dwelling. And we find in that Holy of Holies the Ark of the Testimony. And on that ark there are two cherubims. And we read in the Word of God that God is dwelling between the cherubims. That place was very dark because it was covered on every side with curtains. And then that was a representation of that darkness wherein God Himself is dwelling. That Holy of Holies, that was a place where men were not allowed to come. No, it was only the high priest. And that high priest may only come in there one time each year on the great day of atonement. And then it was necessary that he is coming in there with blood in his hands. Otherwise, that high priest would be slain. Thus, we have a representation of the great holiness of God in the place where He is dwelling, and the unapproachableness that sinful man should come into that presence of God. Just outside of that Holy of Holies, then we find what is called the Holy Place. And in that Holy Place, there is an altar of incense, there is a candlestick, and there is the showbread. That was not a place where the common Israelites were permitted to come, but that was the place where the priests of the Lord, they had to do their work of the Lord in that tabernacle. Thus, this tabernacle that is a representation of the dwelling place of the Lord. And congregation, that is such a wonder. Why? Well, especially because the place where that tabernacle was. That tabernacle was in the midst of Israel. Then we find all the tents of the children of Israel, they are round about this tabernacle. And thus the Lord, He is showing unto the children of Israel what His will is, that He has a desire to dwell in the midst of men, that He may commune with them, and that it is His desire to dwell amongst His own people. Congregation, is that also our desire, that we may come to dwell with God, because that is one of the first desires, and that is born in the heart of that new man in the day of that new birth, boys and girls. And then we are thinking no longer only about our dwelling place here below, that we may be with father, that we may be with mother, but then our heart that begins to go back again, that we may receive that dwelling place with God Himself. But when we see that tabernacle in the midst of the children of Israel, then we see around that tabernacle, there is a great fence. That is, and that there are curtains, that there are hangings, that there is a wall, that there is a separation between all the people and that dwelling place of God. Congregation, do you feel that also in that desire? Then there is also an acknowledgement, an experience that we cannot come into that blessed communion, that there is a separation, that wall that is separating so that a man is not just able to approach, because God, He is holy. And we can read of the Bethshemites later on in the history of Israel that more than 50,000 of them have died. Why? Because they have dared to approach that ark with that mercy seat and to look into that ark, to touch it with their unholy fingers. Congregation, how man today in general is so superficial in his religion that he thinks that he is able just with his unholy fingers to touch the things of the Lord, and that we are just of ourselves able to bring ourselves into His communion and to approach unto Him. But we see a different picture from the beginning, given not by man, but by the Lord Himself. Then we see hangings all about that ark, hangings all about that tabernacle proper. Those hangings are 7 feet high. They are high enough that the tallest of the men, they are not able to look over those hangings. Thus, the Lord is dwelling in a place that is so hidden from the eyes of man. Do you ever feel this? That there may be a desire in our heart that we may perceive something of who that the Lord is, the way that the Lord is bringing man unto Himself. But congregation, then a man is standing so on the outside of this because of the hangings that are about the tabernacle of the Lord. And yet, though they are standing on the outside of it, yet they are so very, very close to it, because the Lord, He is dwelling right there in the midst of the children of Israel. So we would say that if a man, he never came to commune with the Lord, and then especially the children of Israel, then we would say then it was their own fault. Oh, how close the Lord had brought that nation, and what the Lord, how the Lord had drawn their hearts, how the Lord had shown unto them that He was able and that He was willing to dwell amongst a sinful people. Oh, how would it be when that people had no desire? Oh, when they went all through that wilderness, when this was only a matter of form for them, when it was only a matter of custom, that there was never anything in their heart, and that nothing spoke unto them all the days of their life, would we not say, congregation, that that people so deserve to be cut off from the tabernacle, to be cut off from the congregation of the Lord, to be cast away from Him forever and forever? So close, and yet they had to come in the right way. The tabernacle, that was a representation of that way, that was a preaching of that way. And when they would come in the right way, then that door that was so wide open unto them, that altar that was placed in the outward court of the tabernacle of the Lord. That is, that it is placed between the entrance to that court and the tabernacle proper. That is, the place where the Lord Himself is dwelling. There were two things in that court. The first thing that was the altar of burnt offerings. And what was the second thing? That was the laver for washings before either of them. And then a person had to come through the door, through the gate, through the entrance. That is another beautiful picture. We have not time to speak about everything, but that entrance that was made of fine twined linen. On this was woven a blue and a purple and scarlet, each of these with their very blessed meanings. And in this gate, then we have a picture of the entering in of a man. Then we have a picture of regeneration. Then we have a picture of the engrafting of a soul into the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. And when a man came through that gate, then congregation, what was the first thing that he did encounter once he came through that gate? Well, the first thing, that was now this altar. That was the altar of burnt offerings. What did he see there on that altar? Well, on that altar was a fire. That was a fire that was always burning. Because we read in God's Word that that fire, upon the command of the Lord, that fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. Thus, that fire is burning on that altar. And that fire that is standing between that sinner who is coming in at that gate and the tabernacle proper. That is, that fire that is standing between God and that sinner. Congregation, is there a people that understand that? In your mind, yes, I know you do. But is there a people that understand this also by experience? Because in that regeneration, then there is so much sweetness. In that regeneration, then there is a great drawing. In the regeneration, then the love of God that can be so poured out in the soul of a person, so that with such a joy, they are coming up with the multitude to the house of the Lord. Oh, that is, even as a little child, we can be 100 years old and it is the same. Even as a little child with such a hope and with such an expectation and with such a desire, then it is different for each one. And there is no one the same in the time, in the length, in the duration of a congregation. Then there comes a time that there is a confrontation with the justice of God. It cannot be otherwise. And why not? Because what is the reason that Adam had to be sent out of the garden? That was sin. Thus, it had, because of sin, then that separation has come between God and man. And now, if there will be an entrance again, then it is at the very entrance that that sin that has to be dealt with. The Lord cannot just look through His fingers at this, young people. That is impossible, because God would not be God. And He would have to deny Himself. He would have to deny His very attributes if He would just put aside our sin. You say He has dealt with it. You know the history. You know that Christ, He has died already on the cross. Yes, that is true. A congregation, then a man, each man, everyone for himself, they also must know this by way of experience. Our catechism that says God will have His justice satisfied. Why does it say that? That is not because it comes out of the hearts of those who have written our catechism. No, it says this because it is coming directly out of the Word of God. And we have a picture of this in that tabernacle. When a man is entering in through that gate, and then immediately he is being confronted with the fire that is burning upon this altar. Congregation. Then there are men, well, our own hearts, each one of us, or we would like to go around this. We would like to sidestep, as it were, that justice. Bunyan earnestly shows this in his book, how that man is trying to go to a city of morality, but it was impossible for that Christian man. No, because that justice of God, when the Lord is merciful to our soul, then that justice of God will have to be confronted by every one of us in this life. And if that is never confronted in this life, then we will have to confront it when we die. Thus it is of the great mercies of the Lord. If the Lord is bringing a man by true regeneration, and if He is setting before him that fire of His wrath, that fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. O congregation, are there those in our midst who have been confronted by this fire? Also in our days, because is there not much complacency? Yes, we have religion. Yes, we come up faithfully, that is so good. But congregation, are there those also that can be found in their inner chambers? Let your own conscience testify. Are there those that are found before the Lord that have to die? Children, young people, are there those that have to die? And are there those that are not able to die? That cannot die? Because we are not able to appear before a holy and a righteous God. Is this the way that some of us may go over this world? That are confronted by the wrath of God because of our sin? That are given to see something of that justice? And that fire that is not to be put out. Did you ever try to put out that fire? You tried to sidestep. Did you ever try to extinguish that fire? You say, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And not only in my house, but also out in the society. How is it going? We're trying to put out that fire. Does that go good? Or does that not go so good? Do you have to descend? Do you have to say, Lord? Well, I cannot do it. Wilt thou take instead my intentions? Wilt thou receive from me what I mean in my heart? Because I cannot be perfect. O congregation, are there those that have experienced that you are not able to put out that fire? That fire remains? Are there those that are afraid sometimes that they will actually be consumed by that fire? Even with your religion, even with your working, even with everything that you thought that the Lord had begun and that the Lord had done in your life, that one day you will still be consumed by that fire? Are there those congregation that have to take responsibility for their sin? To say, the Lord, He is so right, and the Lord, He is so just. Or if I had to be cast away forever from Him, that I am so deserving to burn forever in that eternal fire, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood to stand just within that outer court. No, not on the outside, on the inside. Why, congregation, that is not experienced by those who are on the outside? That is not experienced by those who are just in the visible church. But it is experienced by those who are brought within, even into that outward court by a true regeneration. And why then is that altar placed there? Just inside of that outward court, that is not just to afflict those people as if the Lord, He had a delight in it, in their affliction. No, it is for instruction. For instruction. Oh, that justice of God that is satisfied, that price is paid. But congregation, a man needs to come to know this. He needs to come to know this for himself. There is a justification before faith that is in the decree of God, that is in the resurrection of Christ. But there must also be a justification by faith. By faith. And there is a passive justification that is in regeneration, that is in the engrafting. Then they are justified. That is a change of state. That is on the side of God. A congregation that is not yet in the experience of that people. Thus, to receive the rest of it, the comfort of it, the peace of it, then we need also that active justification. There is a ground. there is a ground whereby the Lord is receiving a sinner into communion with Himself. And now true peace that cannot be received by a soul except that it is resting upon the foundation that God Himself has made. That soul that is resting upon that rock, and then it is necessary to be placed before that justice and to be cut off from everything, every invention and device that can come from our side and that belongs to an old covenant, that the Lord may reveal, that the Lord may show to a man how it is possible that he can dwell again with a sinner. That was no different in the Old Testament. And that is, thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood. And now it is by that altar that that soul that is beholding that fire, but he is beholding more. We want to see that after we sing from Psalter 232, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints, but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. Psalter 232, stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. Congregation, when an Israelite would enter into that outer court, and then he saw not only that fire, but he saw that that fire that was burning upon the altar. We can read of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, that they have built an altar unto the Lord. That, however, was different than the altar that we read of here in the tabernacle. And why? Because the form of this altar that was specified directly and specifically from the Lord Himself. As we heard, that it is a representation. And then it is a representation in a special way of His own only begotten Son. What was that altar made of? Do you know what that was made of, boys and girls? That was made of wood. That was made of a very special wood. That was made of shittim wood. That shittim wood, that was a representation of the human nature of Christ. That shittim wood has come from a certain desert tree, and that was not liable to rot. And so we see something of the perfection, of the incorruptibility of that human nature of Christ. But you say, boys and girls, how is that possible that that altar that is made of wood? Because when a fire that is being placed on that altar, then that altar that is going to be completely consumed. That is true. And so we have a picture here of that human nature of Christ. Though that it was spotless in its humanity, yet it was a consumable human nature, that it was a nature that was just the same as yours and mine. We read that when the Lord Jesus was wearied, that He sat down on the well. No, the Lord Jesus did not have an iron nature, different from ours. That human nature also was not able to endure the fire of God's wrath. And it is upon this altar of wood that God has commanded that that fire of His justice had to burn. That is understandable. It cannot be otherwise, because it is man who has sinned, and it is man in his own human nature that has to bear the punishment for his sin. Oh, then you understand it. Then it is impossible that when we would enter into that eternal place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, then it is impossible, congregation, that we shall ever come out of that place. No, that is forever and forever, then that price is unable to be paid. Oh, how is it that wooden altar, boys and girls, would be preserved by the Lord so that it would not be consumed? Well, we read it together It says, and thou shalt overlay it with brass, all that wood, that would get very, very hot, and yet it would not be consumed because it was overlaid with brass. And thus we have a picture of that which protected that human nature, and that is that divine nature of the Lord Jesus. That is enabling him to endure the cross and to come out from under all the sufferings that were due unto the guilt of his church. Thus we have the divine nature and the human nature bound together in one person, even as that wood and that brass, they are together bound that they may make one altar. And that is now the person that God is promising unto the children of Israel in the Old Testament. That is the mediator in his two natures, God and man. No, they do not know who that mediator is as we do, because they are standing before it. But we can see in that altar how that they have received instruction from the Lord, how that they have received a hope when from their side it was so impossible, how that they have received an expectation in that Savior that was to come. That altar that was anointed. And what does that mean to anoint someone or something? That means that that thing or that person that is set apart, that is set apart by the Lord Himself for a specific purpose. And so we see that is also in the anointing of this altar. If the Lord spares us, then we hope to consider something of the sacrifices that were to be laid on this altar. But congregation, that we had to begin here. And why did we have to begin here? Because in the New Testament you read how that the Lord Jesus, He explains, He asks, what is now greater? He says, is it the gift or is it the altar that sanctifies the gift? Because at that time there were those who said it was permissible to swear by the altar, but it was a sin to swear by the gift that was upon the altar. And now the Lord Jesus says, no. Because it is not the sacrifice that is laid, that thank offering that is laid upon that altar that is the greatest, but it is the altar itself, because it is that altar that is sanctifying the gift. When we would take a lamb, when they would take a lamb, and they had put a few sticks on the ground, and they would slay that lamb and burn that lamb, that was no sacrifice. No, a lamb could suffer without being a sacrifice unto the Lord. What was it that made it a sacrifice? That was, congregation, the altar. Thus the altar was giving a meaning unto the sacrifice. The Lord, He is under no obligation to receive a substitute in our stead. Justice calls for our death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The receiving of a substitute that is not according to the law, that is according to the good pleasure of the Lord. And now it is in the commanding of the Lord to build that altar, to make that altar, that the Lord is giving a testimony that He will receive a substitute. That the sufferings of Christ, that we hope more to consider, that the Lord says by the commanding of building that altar, and that those sufferings of Christ, they will be received by me. And they will be received as an atonement. There are those that do not believe that Christ is an atonement, a propitiatory sacrifice. But congregation, this is what we need and what we need to know for our own soul. And we find the proof of it here in the commandment of the Lord already in the Old Testament. That is, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood. Thus, when that sinner, then he is approaching there, that altar. Oh, then he may see something of that fire, of that justice, of that wrath of God. But not only so. No, he may see that that fire that is burning upon this altar. And that altar that is placed there not by the command of men. No, that altar that is placed there by the command of the Lord. Between God and that sinner. And that is a testimony. That how he is able, and how that he is willing to receive such a sinner again unto himself. What does he say? No communion without satisfaction of my justice. And no satisfaction of my justice without the union of the divine nature and that human nature. Oh, that altar that is a declaration that He Himself requires it. But not only that He requires it, but that also He is going to provide it. When it is impossible for that sinner, that is a declaration that He is willing to receive a substitute, that is a declaration that He Himself, He has laid the foundation for the receiving into communion with Himself, those who have sinned against Him, O congregation. There was for that people in Israel, in that altar, such a great comfort. Though they lived under the types, though they lived under the shadows. Is that also for us? The disciples, they could not understand why the Lord Jesus had to die. Peter, he said, "This shall not be unto thee." But later he may come to understand. Then he says, "For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." Why? That He may bring us unto God. Unto God. That is the end. And there we have the fulfillment of the desire from the beginning in that new heart. Oh, to bring me unto God. Oh, by that altar, sin is put away. By that altar, justice is satisfied. By that altar, that way, congregation, that is made so open. Oh, do seek. Do seek to come unto that altar. With all your iniquity, with all your sin, with all your transgression, with all your guilt, with all your pollution, all that you may find there at that altar, what is found by everyone who may receive that blessing there at that altar. And there at that altar, then two things, they are coming together. We sang about it. Mercy and truth are there at that altar met together. Righteousness and peace, they have kissed each other. That is to the satisfaction of the Lord. And that will be to His honor and to the enjoyment of His church forever shall we be among them. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless Thy word. No desire in our hearts to come again unto Thee, but what a way that Thou hast provided, and that Thou declarest in Thy word, even from so many years ago. Oh, that we would not miss it, and when it is proclaimed also unto us and our children. And wilt Thou forgive all our sins, bring us safely to our places, and with desire again this afternoon together, and that Thy house may be a house of prayer, that there may be a need, that there may be food and drink. Help him that will go before us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 217, all stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of 217.
Exalt Thy name.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.